You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on today's Wisconsin Life, we'll check in on the progress of the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas, a statewide field survey of birds breeding in Wisconsin, and you can help out. First, there's no shortage of issues that'll come to the forefront in this fall's election season, ahead of the November election and tomorrow's congressional primaries. We've heard about issues around Wisconsin's economy, international trade, national security, and more. According to a new report from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, there's a relatively new issue that might make it to the top of some candidates' list of priorities. That's water. In its failure at the faucet series, the center's covered contamination in groundwater in parts of Wisconsin and the residents who are at risk of consuming it. Joining me now is Andrew Hahn. He's a reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. His report on water and politics is posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
And also joining me, Dee Hall. She's the managing editor of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee, welcome back.
All right. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, Dee, we'll start with you. We've been talking to you about these reports on water around the state for some time now. I guess with all the issues you've been finding, it's not necessarily a surprise that water would trickle up as an issue in the political campaign this year.
Right. And that's why we looked at it, because the more that we have reported on this issue, we found that hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites face, you know, the real chance that their water's contaminated. And we found individuals in the state who are really concerned, individuals in a lot of groups who are really concerned about this. And those concerns have now turned into a political issue in some districts in Wisconsin.
And Andrew, let's get into that. In state Senate races in particular, you focused on a couple of districts where candidates are having to talk and think about these issues. What's putting this on their agendas?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few assembly races, in particularly spots where there are vulnerable, where the geography of the area is vulnerable to groundwater contamination, that makes runoff from any kind of industrial operation or agricultural operation really easy to get into the aquifer there. In Scott, Representative Scott Krug's district, for example, in the Central Sands area, they've had a few issues with contamination, but they've also seen problems with high-capacity wells, which are wells that can bring up a lot of water from the aquifer, which can deplete the aquifer, deplete other people's wells, and has been known to dry up lakes and streams in the area.
And you write that for a couple assembly representatives, Republicans, this is putting them at odds with their own party in the legislature.
Yeah, that's right. Some of these Republicans find that politically they have to kind of abandon the traditional Republican stance of regulation is bad for the economy because these issues are so emotional and so big in their race. Scott Krug told me that he believes it's political suicide not to address these issues in his district.
And his challengers in the primaries are definitely talking about these things.
Yep, that's right. David Gorski and Russ Brown. David Gorski is a Nakusa school counselor, and Russ Brown is himself an organic farmer. And it's an interesting race because all three candidates, no matter their party, agree that it's an issue that needs to be addressed.
And Dee, these issues you've been reporting on, they're big issues for the DNR, the State Department of Justice, and a lot of the movement there seems like it's been away from mandatory regulations, more efforts at voluntary compliance.
Right, and I think that is among some groups raising some concerns. There was a Legislative Audit Bureau audit that came out several weeks ago that said that found that 94% of the time when there were water quality violations that the state DNR was not following its own policies. So this has actually been a long-standing trend within the agency. In addition to that, we've had these high-profile instances up in Kewaunee County, which is another area we profiled, where people's wells have been coming up contaminated. And so that has really alarmed a lot of folks up there, too, and raised a lot of questions about the ability of the state and the EPA to really protect people's drinking water.
One of the hot spots in agriculture and water issues is the idea of the CAFO, the confined animal feeding operation, usually large scale, maybe dairy operations, but other livestock as well. What kind of conflicts are we seeing around the state, Dee?
Well, that is at issue in both of the districts we've talked about, District 1, which is the one in Kewaunee and Door County, and then District 72, which is the race that Andrew was just talking about. In the case of District 1, there's a high concentration of concentrated animal feeding operations. Andrew actually drew the map for us that showed the concentration in different parts of the state. But there's an ongoing study up there to figure out whether these large, very large farms, thousands of animals, are contributing to the finding of bacteria, nitrate, viruses, and other things in the water up there.
And Andrew, you write that local governments and local activists, as well as state environmental groups, are trying to stop some of these projects.
Yeah, that's right. This summer, the DNR has put together a work group made of citizens and local officials and DNR and EPA representatives in Kewaunee County to talk about issues. There's a few different solutions that they've come up with. Some of them are actual rule changes in the DNR's policy, and others are voluntary measures that they want to recommend to farmers.
We're talking about water and politics in Wisconsin with Andrew Hahn and Dee Hall from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Dee, a big fundamental issue, whether we're talking about the high-capacity wells, about the CAFOs, is an argument at the state level over whether the DNR can consider the cumulative environmental impact of withdrawing lots of water or contamination of water. Where is the state at right now, Dee, on that?
Well, officially, the state, Attorney General Brad Schimmel has issued a formal opinion saying that it is his opinion, which carries a lot of weight, that the state does not have the statutory or legal authority to take a look at the existing drawdowns or existing wells in an area as a basis for denying or limiting a new well application. So the result, of course, as you can imagine, is there are areas where a lot of the groundwater is being taken up, and it's the state's official policy that they really do not have the legal authority to stop something like that.
And critics say the state has a public trust doctrine, which should allow those things to be considered.
Right. It's definitely a matter of dispute. Not everyone would agree with his legal interpretation, and there are people who are, fighting that interpretation. But it's not, at this moment, that is the official status of the state, that they believe they do not have the authority to do anything about that.
Andrew, so far we've been focusing on the state legislature, the state level. This is also an issue, water politics, also an issue in the race for the U.S. Senate, you write. What's coming up in the race between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Russ this summer did definitely call out Senator Johnson for his opposition to the Clean Water Rule. He voted to block that rule from taking effect. Ultimately, that was unsuccessful, and the rule did take effect. Johnson himself hasn't said much about Kewaunee County in particular, but he has maintained that low regulation is good for the economy and therefore good for the environment.
And we should add, the Clean Water Rule, although it's an actual rule, it's been suspended at this moment because there have been legal challenges to the rule. The idea is that it would bring a bunch of bodies of water into the Clean Water Act that had not previously been under that purview, including tributaries and wetlands. And so there's a very big, it's a very controversial rule. There are a lot of groups who believe that it's overreaching, others who believe it's necessary to keep these waters safe.
Right. A lot of the argument there seems to be the idea of intermittent waterways. This is a wetland that's wet part of the year, or a stream that runs during the wet season. So some people argue you're regulating puddles. People who criticize this and say it's an overreach. Other people saying, well, this water does end up in the rivers and lakes that are there all year round. Is that a fair summation of the back and forth on that?
I think there's that, and just the fact that so many more bodies of water that are not currently under the Clean Water Act would go under the Clean Water Act. And I think that is the big concern, is that it would start to infringe on various agriculture and other businesses.
And Andrew, you talked to some political analysts. Have we seen this much interest in water in state electoral politics before?
That's right. I asked John Sharpless, a UW-Madison history professor, that same question. He said water hasn't been a major statewide political issue in this state. Wisconsin hasn't had, for the most part, one big disaster that shaped policy like you've seen in some other places, like the Cuyahoga River fire in 1969. Instead, Wisconsin's seen this problem slowly building. It's been a matter of years and decades, in fact, that we've had issues in Kewaunee County and the Central Sands.
And Dee, you were working on this water series before the news came out of Flint, Michigan about lead and other problems in the water there. But did that hitting the news, do you think, raise people's interest levels in our water here in Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. Flint became a national and international story, and I think it extended beyond lead. It went to other concerns, other anxieties about people's water. And so it definitely has raised the whole issue of water quality, drinking water quality specifically, on the national stage and definitely on the state stage.
Dee, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
And Andrew, thanks for coming up.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Dee Hall and Andrew Hahn from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. They talked about a new report looking at how water quality and access problems in Wisconsin could impact fall elections here in the state.